I don't think I'm going out on a limb here by saying that everybody in this sanctuary has at some point in their life been surprised. Am I right? Perhaps it was a happy surprise. Perhaps it was not so welcome. I remember when I was a teenager, one of the things I did to earn some extra money was be a tutor. And I would do this in the evening, and then I would come home and relax. And I remember I had a session with a young man one night, and after we had gone through his lessons, I got into my car to drive home. And as I was about to turn onto our street, I found a police blockade. I wasn't expecting that. So I asked the cop what was going on, and he said, "There's been a fire." I said, "Oh, really? I live on this street. Which house was it?" He said, 322. I said, "Officer, that's my house." He said, "Come on through." So I didn't know what I was going to find as I drove down Lacey Drive, and there were fire trucks, but most of the house was still there. Unfortunately, the kitchen had been gutted by an inadvertent grease fire. So there was a surprise, and it wasn't a welcome one. On a happier note, I remember how I used to fly back and forth between the United States and the UK on business, and I had gone to Heathrow and I was checking in for my flight back to the US, and I didn't look at my ticket, so I was a bit surprised when I went to get on the airplane, and rather than being told to head off to the right to go sit in coach where I normally sat, I was told to go to the left into business class. That was a happy surprise. Never happened again. So, what do those two situations have in common? Well, in both instances, I needed to reevaluate the facts that I had. I had to reconsider what I thought I knew, and then I had to act accordingly. Now, when one is confronted by a surprise, one can embrace the new development, or one can run away from it, or one can even ignore it. But the fact is, it has happened. It is part of our landscape. And any one of us can be surprised, as we are reminded by today's passage from Scripture. This is a rather interesting story in the life of Jesus. Are we accustomed to thinking about Jesus talking the way he does here? I don't think so. When you think of Jesus, you think of the teacher, the healer, the guy who cares about us and loves everybody. That's not the Jesus we find here in Mark, in this story. Prior to this incident, we had last week's reading when he had told the gathered crowds about the dietary laws and how they did not need to observe them because there was a new way to understand Scripture and a new day was dawning. And Jesus was often surrounded by people and crowded by them. And here he has wanted to get away from it all. He wants to take a break. We don't know if he's going to pray, if he's going to just go sit and read, if he just wants to be by himself. But he has headed off to the territory beyond Galilee. And Tyre and Sidon and the Decapolis were all lands of the Gentiles. And Jesus hoped that he could go there and not be noticed. No such luck. Jesus' reputation has obviously preceded him, and this mother has heard about him, and she doesn't care who he is, that he might be from a different religion or nation. She has heard that Jesus has the ability to heal the sick and to cast out demons. So she is going to talk to him. And she does. And here, Jesus speaks in a way that surprises us. There is no way for me to explain away the language Jesus uses here. It's nasty. It is not welcoming. Jesus may have been tired, he may have been cranky, but there's no excuse for it. There's no culture in which People want to be called dogs. But that is what he has done here. He has told her that the children need to be fed first, and then the dogs can be taken care of. He's talking about Israel and the Gentiles. And Jesus sees himself being called to speak to the Jews, to his people. And he has not yet recognized that he might have a mission that is bigger than what he had envisioned. What happens? This woman doesn't care. She's a mother concerned with the health and well-being of her child. And as any parent will know, she will do what she needs to. So she doesn't care that Jesus has just insulted her or that Jesus has dismissed her. Jesus has the ability to do something she wants. So she says to him, "Fine, but the dogs need to be fed too." And here's another surprise. Jesus does not argue with her. Jesus doesn't correct her or try to set her straight or say, "Sorry, I'm not open for business now," or "I don't help your kind." Jesus tells her that her faith has worked, that her child is healed. A lot of little surprises here. Now, I'm sure a lot of you might be thinking, oh, this is where Steve's going to go now and preach about the need to welcome refugees and immigrants, and we have to like people who don't look like us. And yeah, that's all true. There's a reason we have the banner in front of our church. There's a reason we have addressed this topic in the past, and we'll continue to talk about it in the future. But that's not what this passage is about. There's something deeper going on here. And we see it in this next incident where Jesus heals this deaf man who has trouble speaking. And he utters an invocation and he does things with his hands. We're told about this in great detail. And the man is cured. And Jesus has told his followers and the people around him, "Don't tell anybody. I'm not ready for folks to know this." So being good church people, what do? They blab, right? They start talking. The word about Jesus cannot be contained. The good news is going to get out. This miracle echoes 2 Isaiah and the talk about how the exiles would be able to hear anew and speak the word of God with great joy, and they would share the news of God with all the people of the earth. That Zion would be restored and all nations would come to the Lord. And what we see happening here is a moment in Jesus' ministry and his life as he is learning who he is. Now, you have heard me say that Jesus is fully human and fully divine. That's a nice little phrase. But what does it mean? Have you ever really thought about it? We can imagine Jesus is fully human, right? We can see him as a kid going off to the temple, talking with people. We can see him as an adult, perhaps as a carpenter, preaching on the mount, being surrounded by his disciples, getting frustrated with them. All of this we can imagine. And we see the divine in him in work as he performs miracles, as he heals the sick. But when did Jesus realize that he was actually the Son of God? When did he realize that not was he just human, but he was also God? Scripture doesn't come out and say when. And I have read different theories about this, and I like what Tom Wright says, that Jesus' awareness of his divine nature unfolded over the course of his life, and he recognized more and more of it as he had more and more experiences. And it's only on the cross that Jesus fully comprehends and understands what it means to be fully human and fully divine. So Jesus has this moment where he does not behave the way we'd like to see him behave. Guess what? Jesus is fully human. But he learns and changes, turns on a dime. That's a fully divine. Think about it. Sometimes we don't want to say we are wrong. Sometimes we don't want to admit that we have treated somebody poorly. And it's easier to pretend that incident did not occur. It's easier to conduct ourselves like nothing had ever happened. But if Jesus could admit he was wrong, then why can't you or I? We talk about wanting to walk the way of Jesus. And we think that means going out and doing good stuff and being holy people. But sometimes it also means learning from our mistakes. It involves engaging in repentance and metanoia, turning our lives around and following a new direction. I can't imagine that it was easy for Jesus to do this. Jesus was a Jew in the first century, and he had an understanding of what it meant to be a Jew in the first century. And even though his teachings were considered heterodox, he still lived in that community. He still absorbed its views of the world. He knew how the Jews had been abused and oppressed over the years. And he understood his ministry to exist in a certain context. But when somebody came to him looking for help, laying bare her need, Jesus responded. And he recognized that the love of God is not limited to one group of people at one time in one place. Jesus recognized and acted on the fact that God is indeed the Lord of all creation. Of every single person here and beyond the walls of this building. That was the God of Israel. He's the God of the universe. So some of you are probably hoping that I'll give you a takeaway. You know, one little nugget you can live with for the week. And you can think about what you should do. I'll suggest that you go find your own little Decapolis. Go away from it all. Maybe you'll just be driving in the car. Maybe you'll go to another community here. And you'll spend a little time reflecting on Scripture. And the odds are a Syrophoenician woman will not come into your life. But maybe a stranger will. Maybe someone who doesn't look like you, or talk like you, or God forbid, think like you. And you'll try to establish a connection. That's how the kingdom of God is built. Person by person, interaction by interaction, encounter by encounter. And after you've done this, you'll pray. You'll pray to God that you'll have another opportunity to do this. You'll offer thanksgiving, or you'll pray hope that you'll have the chance to do this. But you'll pray, most of all, that you will be surprised.